الحمد لله وكفى الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about some of the contributions of our pious predecessors. And, of course, we benefit from those contributions till this day. Their contributions can be looked at in two ways. One is the contributions that they made at the time that they were present concerning whichever field they were in. So, for example, Muhammad al-Fatih, rahmatullah alayh, was the leader of the army that eventually conquered Constantinople. You can almost say liberated Constantinople. And that has huge ramifications to this day. That allows, deen to be established comfortably in a place where it can thrive and people can practice deen, and ulama are comfortable, mashayikh are comfortable, students are comfortable. You know, so many angles of deen get established because of that one event. And we benefit from that because that allows deen to remain strong over a long period of time. But in addition to the actual events that they manage, many times our pious predecessors have given us advice. And that advice is a little different. That advice is a little bit of a different benefit because that advice is very general. It's not particular to a time and place. It's very general. So, for example, one of the advices that I wanted to speak about today was given by Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh. And he was obviously a very pious predecessor in our history. And he gave a very interesting piece of advice that helps us to recognize where to focus on when we're thinking about our own lives. So he said two things. Obviously, he said many things across his lifetime and gave many pieces of advice. But in this particular statement, he said two things. So the first thing he says is, take care of your hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your worldly life. It's a very interesting piece of advice. Take care of your hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your worldly life. Now, this advice is worth its weight in gold. This advice is pure gold. Why? Because we are human beings. And we wake up every day and we have 1,000 responsibilities on our head. You know, like there's so many things to think about in a day. Okay, I've got to think about my kids. I've got to think about my homework if I'm a student. I've got to think about my classes. I've got to think about my meals. I've got to think about my career. I've got to think about my profession. I've got to think about my business. I've got to think about my neighbor. I've got to think about my house. I've got to think about my car. I mean, there's this long list of things that we have in life that all require our attention. And sometimes it gets confusing. Like, I'm a human being. I only have the ability, you know, Allah created me, my eyes in such a way that if I look here, I can't see what's behind my head. And even if I try to look to the side, it's not clear until I turn my face towards it. So we are very limited. You know, if I do something with this hand, then it's occupied. I can't do 10 things with one hand. If I pick up one foot off the ground, the other foot has to be on the ground. There's severe limitations to what we're able to do. I'm not a computer. I can't compute 15, 20, 30 processes at the same time. If I'm trying to do something, I can do one thing at one time. So that creates a challenge in a human being's life. Like, there's all these things that are so important. There's these things that are clearly evident in front of me that are important. There's these things that my neighbor, you know, my friends tell me that are important. There's these things that my community tells me that are important. There's these things that my prophet tells me that are important to Allah, I send them. So how do I know what to focus on? So here, Omar bin Abdul Aziz gives a very general statement about how to take care of the affairs that lie before us. That's why it's worth its weight in gold. And because he's coming from a level of piety and a level in which he had tremendous responsibility. I mean, this is a person who had the responsibility of the affairs of the Muslims along with the affairs of his own akhirah. And the akhirah of the Muslims, by the way. You can read his history. It's amazing. So he says, you know, a simple piece of advice. That take care of your hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your worldly affairs. So this is, you know, again, for us, like advice that's worth its weight in gold, because this is where we need to turn our attention towards. And by the way, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because this is the mantra, stated or unstated, this is the mantra of the people of piety that came before us and the mantra of the people who achieved all those things that we've been talking about. They were interested in the hereafter of themselves, of their families, of their communities, and of the Muslims as a whole. They were worried about their deen. Now, that becomes important for us because of all the challenges that we face. So we should always recognize that the hereafter is a place that requires our attention. And the beauty of it is that when a person takes care of the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah and blessings in the life of that person, such that many of the issues of the dunya get taken care of. Many of the issues of worldly life get taken care of. Now, does that mean that if a person just sits and prays all day that money's going to come from the sky? No. That's not the case. That's obvious. We all know that. Prophet ﷺ in his sunnah taught us that we have to give attention to the hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ gave rulings for the marketplace and advices for the marketplace and encouraged people to be balanced in their approach towards how much time they spent in ibadah and how much time they spent with their families or how much time they spent on their businesses. But what I'm trying to say is that when a person puts the hereafter first, many of the mundane little things that just tend to bind us, you know, those just little things that happen every day that just bind us for weeks on end or months on end or sometimes a life on end, those things disappear. And when those things disappear, it creates peace and happiness in a person's worldly life. So this is something that every one of us needs to grasp onto. And it's not hard. You know, we put our prayer before our schedules. It's like a simple thing. But there's so much wisdom and barakah in that. There's so much serenity in that. And we put our manners above our goals. We're not going to step on people to be able to achieve our goals. We're not going to insult people to achieve our goals. We're not going to leave the beauty of the sunnah in order to attain the grit and grime of this life. It's not worth it for us. It's not ever worth it for us. But only when a person has the hereafter before them that will they be able to appreciate that. And otherwise what happens is they get caught up in dunya and it becomes just ping pong. Everything is worth fighting for. Everything is never, you never know when to let go. You know, people get caught up in worrying about what people said and what people did and what people think and how people treated me. And, you know, everything is just like it's a constant news cycle. And you see it. You see, like, people aren't caught up in this constant news cycle. They're completely lost even about who they are or what they stand for anymore. So we have a very clear directive. We put our eyes on the hereafter. We work towards the hereafter. We don't sacrifice the hereafter for the life of this world. And when necessary, we give attention to the life of this world, but our minds are always still focused on the hereafter. So this was the first piece of advice, very broad piece of advice, something that, you know, everyone can think about and apply in their own lives in their own way. And then he gave a second piece of advice, which I'll just tell you, subhanAllah, is the answer to today's problems. It's like the answer to it's like the remedy to today's diseases. So he says something very interesting. He says, take care of your hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your worldly life. That far we've gotten already. Then he says, take care of your private life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your public life. Again, worth its weight in gold. Take care of your private life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your public life. Now, I mean, the world is completely the other way nowadays. Anything goes wrong in public life, everybody's ready to draw a dagger. This person said this about me. This person treated me this way. This person looked at me that way. This person, you know, I'm fighting with this person, and I don't talk to this person, and I have a bad relationship with that person. Everybody's caught up in this. Everybody's caught up in their public life. Because what they don't appreciate is they're trying to cure a symptom when the disease actually stems from the private life. You know, like we learn this in medicine all the time. People go to medical school, and one of the major things that they learn, not only in medical school, but I would say like in the first 20 years, like let's say that they start medical school, from the day they start medical school all the way until about 20 years, like including the beginning of their practice, one of the most important things that they learn is when a patient comes to you and tells you 20 things, you have to know which ones matter and which ones are occurring because of the thing that matters. For example, person comes in, they say, I have a fever, I'm short of breath, I feel sleepy, I feel tired, I have my bones hurt, my joints hurt. Okay, now if you go then say, okay, you go see a joint specialist, go see a lung specialist, go see a psychologist so that they can tell you resting patterns and this and that. Now you give them all these like different things to do. You didn't provide them any benefit, right? Because really the problem is that they probably have like an infection. Let's say they have some infection. So they really need to see one doctor, let's say an infectious disease doctor or a generalist who can identify their infection. And if you just treat the infection, everything will go away. It's not that they have 10 diseases. It's that they actually have one disease, but they have 9 or 10 symptoms. So there's a big difference between understanding the symptoms and understanding the disease, because it means that if you understand the disease, you can focus on the disease and the symptoms will naturally go away. So this is the advice we're being given, that if a person has symptoms in their public life, then the issue isn't necessarily their public life. They don't need to go and like treat every, you know, go, I'm going to go shake this guy down because this guy looks at me funny, and I'm going to go shake this guy down because this guy owes me money, and I'm going to go shake this guy down because this guy talks to me funny. I'm going to shake that guy down because he parks in front of my driveway. You know, those are all the problems of public life. But those are symptoms. It doesn't mean that a person necessarily is going to solve anything by going and doing all these things. All you do is go do all these things and then 10 new problems show up. So the issue is, Omar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, is sharing with us this broad general principle that if there are concerns in a person's public life, the first place to look is one's private life. A person should go through their private life with a fine-tooth comb. What do I do when I'm all alone? Who am I when I'm in my, you know, in my solitude? What do I do with my free time when no one's around? How do I act when no one's seeing me? What happens when I'm behind a locked door by myself? That's the question to be asked. If a community or a person or a group feels that publicly they've been assaulted or ashamed or degraded or in a horrible state, then the answer isn't to like point fingers at everybody and shake everybody down and say, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. The first place to look is at oneself. is for the person or the community or the ummah, whatever it might be, to come back to themselves and say, what am I doing? Who's actually the oppressor? Is maybe I'm the oppressor. Maybe I'm feeling the effects of my own oppression. That's much more common than an outside oppressor, by the way. So that question should arise, that what am I doing to oppress myself? And is what's happening to me a consequence of that? But the only way to make that diagnosis is to first look at oneself and then make necessary adjustments in order to see how the circumstances respond. But nobody wants to do that. It's too hard. It's too hard to look at oneself and make changes and ask the tough questions. It's much easier to just say, it's this person's fault and that person's fault and that community's fault and these people's fault. It's easy. That's much easier. So of course, human beings, they tend to take the path of least resistance. Like any physical reaction in the universe, it tends to take the path of least resistance. But Deen raises us beyond that. We don't just slide down the slippery slope of blame. Deen causes us to inwardly reflect and ask very simple questions. If things are going wrong, I need to start with myself. And first thing I need to do is make tawbah for anything that happened in the past. I need to make istighfar for all of my mistakes. I need to actively reflect on what's going on with me. And as I begin to clean up that mess, yes, there may be a fine-tuning that needs to occur in my public domain here, and there may be a fine-tuning that needs to occur in my public domain there, but it becomes so much more clean. Rather than 50 things bombarding one another and I have no idea where to put my attention and focus, I clean up a little bit, and then it becomes clear that, oh, there's a little problem here that I can stitch up. There's a little problem here that I can stitch up. And when all of these pieces come together, then I have a much better public life. So this is the big lesson, one of the big lessons that our pious predecessors put before us. Let me make something very clear. When people achieved the things that they achieved, the achievement was not amazing. The achievement is amazing, but it's not what should amaze us. The achievement is amazing, but it's not what should amaze us. What should amaze us is that they reached a level of piety that they were able to make those achievements. See, look, Rasulullah ﷺ highlighted that to us. We've been constantly repeating this hadith over and over again over the past several weeks. Rasulullah ﷺ highlighted that to us when he said, "You will conquer Constantinople." That's a big event at a time when they're barely surviving, Sahaba. You will conquer Constantinople. But it goes one step further. What a great army the army will be. What a great leader the leader will be. Commenting that it's going to be predicated on the piety. Because the Prophet is not praising their greatness and strength. Strength comes and goes. Physical strength comes and goes. The greatness was in their piety. Allah gave them that reward. Gave them that honor. Because of their piety. Because of their intention. Because of their focus. Because of their concern. So the Prophet ﷺ is not only saying, you're going to conquer Constantinople, what a great event, but he's saying, you're going to conquer Constantinople, what a great degree of piety those people will have who do it. So it's predicated on something. It's predicated on something that's even more amazing. It's more amazing that at that time, Sahaba thought they were going to do it. And we would have thought the same if we had to write it on an empty blank piece of paper. Because they were the people of piety. They were the best of generations. But the Prophet ﷺ says, there's going to be this great generation. And another one will come after it. And another one will come after it. And after that, there'll be a time of fitna. And in the time of fitna, people of piety arose. And they took Constantinople. SubhanAllah. That's what's amazing, that in that chaos, there came a group of people who were focused on their hereafter such that their worldly life just took care of itself. So much they were focused on their hereafter, so much they were focused on Allah and Akhirah, that the conquering of Constantinople took care of itself. So much they were focused on their private lives and living with sincerity and honesty, that to this day, publicly, they're acknowledged. To this day, publicly, they're acknowledged. Does it mean they were perfect? No, they were human beings. Nobody's here claiming that they were perfect. But they remain publicly acknowledged for what they do. Subhanallah. I mean, that's what, you know, in some ways I was reading this, what, you know, the advice of Omar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, and I was saying, you know, subhanAllah, how much is encapsulated in this tiny statement? How much is encapsulated in this tiny statement? It's our piety that we build on. We don't just create lofty dreams in the sky and think that they're going to occur. No, the challenge is piety. Then Allah will use us how He wants. It may be that He uses us in a way. It may be that He uses five generations down the line in a way. But the goal is still the same. You know, it's the people who liberated Constantinople at that time. It's not just their reward. It's the reward of all the people that whose shoulders they're standing on. There were generations upon, you know, and I talked about some of those history in the previous weeks. There were generations upon generations of things that had to occur before one eventual event occurs. The conquering Constantinople did not occur by one generation. They did not just wake up one day, spend their whole lives, and then produce this at the end of the day. That did not happen. There were generations of people, one after the other, and they built and collapsed and built and collapsed and built and collapsed until eventually the one person climbed the scaffold and was able to grab that victory. But that scaffolding was laid down by so many generations and so many decisions and so much sincerity. It's a tree of sincerity. You know, it's a platform of sincerity. It's a foundation of sincerity. They put adab and manners and respect and concern and nasiha and all of these things on the forefront. And they put themselves behind. They didn't seek their own worldly goals. They didn't seek their own worldly fame. They were concerned about Allah and His Messenger and goodness and the people and benefiting those around them. SubhanAllah, Allah accepted and overlooked and provided them with such a great reward. So it's important for us to not lose sight of what the goals are. And Omar bin Abdul Aziz is giving us very, very, you know, like a very, like a synopsis of what's important. We should take care of our hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in our dunya. We should take care of our private lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of our public sphere. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to open their eyes to see the reality of the circumstances around us. And may He make us among those who are able to focus on our diseases so that our symptoms may be alleviated. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.